Foreign, Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 21. In this instalment, Margot, brought from the village to Mr. Barhai's home, feels ignored by her husband Yogi, even after the bulk of the lunch guests have left. Meanwhile, she meets her nemesis, Mrs. Barhai, in the kitchen and is confronted by some uncomfortable home truths. After the food, the congregation left. Yogi, still cross-legged on the couch, tried to rise.
Batoji, said Barhai. Stay there, Yogi. Let us serve you sweetmeats.
Chai, mitai,
he barked toward the kitchen. Margot rose up from the sheeted floor, piling a ziggurat of dirty dishes. Margot felt his eyes deflecting hers. Restraint rattled her middle dish. They crashed.
Madam, please, you are a family guest,
calling Jyoti the servant. He knew he'd have to neutralize the wife before this yogi was firm in his grasp. Margot refused the servant and toted all stainless steel back to its source. Mrs. Barhai, a multi-handed goddess and shock absorber of her husband's stress, was the right grind mill for his woody grain. She could push and press to juice his sugar cane. Her hands were clubs, her middle bulge a tub. If kitchens worked like wheels, she was the hub and spin of power. She checked her ample self by the rich array of eatables on each shelf and a marble slab where the chai had just been poured. Then this chairwoman of the cutting board said,
Come, Betty,
meaning daughter. Margot bowed before her senior, then sat, sighing out loud. Her morning had backfired, with a car banging doors.
Mrs. Yogi! Mrs. Yogi!
The note, a grabbed guitar, and ride to Garda Mukteshwara. She'd heard the kneecap tale from host Bridgepal Chauhan, while window vistas showed floating heads with fodder and dung cake girls returning from storage cones of thatch to light up pulmonary fires with baby strapped to backs, baking hot plate flatbread daubed with buffalo butter, churned thick with stick and cord, the regular milkmaid work. Here, cuisine demean. Again, Margot was glad she had escaped most kitchens. So many slavish lifetimes lost to the Indian woman.
We had heard that you were preaching to the poor, said Mrs. Barhai, living in the village.
Margot corrected, teaching a year or two.
So, they are paying for this, Betty?
Mrs. Barhai couldn't fathom why this foreign woman would want to leave her comforts.
Well, not really. Some costs are met. It's mainly voluntary.
Mrs. Barhai was stuck inside this puzzle.
So you are having your own home?
Yes, Adelaide. Margot was getting tired.
And your children?
All women came to this.
Yes, with their father. Then Yogiji is not...
A snooping nose, swooping judgments. Well, he's my husband now. Such conversation went the usual way. She'd been up this dead end many times, banging her head. Divorce here meant taboo. Although in cities there were modern rifts, while burning brides were still the ghosts of shame. Carnivorous, of course, an eater of husbands, she was some praying mantis and knew the nods and sniffs and lady tutting tongues too well.
Shameful abandonment, all just for sex.
She noted Mrs. Barhai's rolling eyes, the conversation shifting to her son at college nearby in Merritt. Draftsmanship.
Soon we will be looking for a girl.
Margot was nodding while wondering how to exit. Yogi was close, but truly far.
Oh, darling, I'm out on a ledge, a woman walking the razor's edge. I need to tell things as they are.
How to wake up wifely here. Years as slave and mother had trampled down her lily pad through bad boot husbands and their beer. Her village hut was not so near. Clinging cloth was starting to cook. Could karma let her off the hook? Diamond sweat dripped from each ear. Family? Was it all past? Two little girls she'd let go of, sent away in the name of love? Regret and guilt both breathed aghast. She drank the chai, then rising like a ghost, drifted inside. Yogi was still perched up on the couch and holding court. He was so wrong, she thought, so selfish over time. Did she exist? Should she lean back into wallflower consciousness? Those men with eyes in the backs of their number one heads refused to see her fractious state of heart, so ready to crack like plate glass with one pebble. She stood and stood, the forehead ghost. Her past had tracked her here and rang the bell of hell.
Yogi, oh come on, we really need to go.
He was shocked. Embarrassment sat up. Heads turned to see the face of sharp demand. Yogi had never heard this tone from Margot. Fewer words had been her works and days. Taking on a young man with no prospects or place that worn such blame as came from mother, siblings, in-laws and Pierre, well, paltry adulation made him snub his angel and instead chose to grandstand alpha anger in front of followers. Why was she doing this? Attention-getting? Looking good demanded he do something. His feet unhooked themselves and landed hard with disapproval on the sheet-clad floor. I'm really sorry, Bahai. I have to go. We will meet again, he said. And I will sing any time you want, eyeballing Margot. Bahai joined his prayer hands, turning to her. Madam, we are sorry for giving you problem. Perhaps my wife said something to disrespect? I will be firm, very. You please forgive us. It isn't her fault, Bahai, Madam said. Today was unplanned. I just have school tomorrow. Of course, we are too selfish, said the host. Johan, you must be driving them back at once. No need, she said with curtness. We'll go by bus. Smoking doop and bananas hit nostrils, passing a fruit cart. She stopped to cross where the bus would pull up belching diesel. But he restrained her elbow. Careful. The traffic, the place is crazy. She shrugged him off, jackrabbiting in a zigzag, dodging an auto rickshaw. The mechanical parrot screeched off as if to tell a tale. He galloped after. Wait up! What's your problem? The appointed bus was coming like a prophet with believers. Some debauched and stumbled. She climbed. He followed. He spoke up. She ignored. Then silence defined their faith all the way back to the village. When they had reached, a bony cow was feeding on Margot's marigolds that she and school kids had set in a row before her hut. She hunted it with a culm of cane, Now Yogi joined, but still Margot was mad, whacking a rump back down the road until a farmer yelled to leave his property. She tried to tell him off in broken Hindi, gesticulating with hot and bothered tone, making no impact, pointing to the chewing flower thief with guilty orange tongue. Still the farmer would not kowtow to women, an ironic mark of acceptance. Yes, she was becoming local. Frustrated, Yogi dumped his guitar inside and headed for the river, his quiet spot past the potter turning mud to cups and a man pulling donkey overloaded with bright fabrics. Yogi left at the fork and walked to find his cool embankment where the water lapped. On reaching, he disrobed to cotton drawers and waded, letting water cool his frazzled nerves, and then got out to sunbake on the bank. He was disturbed. Bahai had shown respect and Margot slighted, and he had thrown his weight, but now felt bad. It was their first fight at the peak of summer. He thought she would be glad with his guitar and how they sang together, him the leader. If she had come to teach, what could he do? Was he just some drone bee here to service Marigold Madam? He saw no way ahead and reached into his cotton shoulder bag for the Bhagavad Gita cards, then shuffled and drew. My devotees live in me, all surrendered to me, satisfied and joyful, telling the world about me. It made him think of Krishna and the gopis, those milkmaids, each a petal of his flower. It was clearly confirmation. Or so he thought.